Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. I'm happy to be with you today on one of the most important of the sacraments of the Holy Orthodox Church, the sacrament of the priesthood. And if you remember, the whole point of sacraments, why the Lord in the Holy Bible gave us these seven sacraments, is for our salvation. God did not create us to die, okay, or to go to hell, or to do any of these bad things. But he created us so that we can obtain salvation. If you put your eyes on the screen, you'll find a nice verse which talks about salvation and why we need it. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the idea of any sacrament, if you ever like have a confusion about what a sacrament is or anything, just think about the point of a sacrament. It's to obtain salvation. Because God did not appoint you and me. He didn't create you and me to die. He didn't create you and me to burn. He didn't create you and me to be away from Him. You know, a lot of people live in this world as if God doesn't exist. And they really are ignoring all of the very obvious, all the obvious signs and needs that we have for what some people call a higher being. Okay, I was speaking to somebody the other day. He's an atheist. He used to be Jewish, but he became an atheist. He's a good friend. Very good friend. Very nice people. Very nice person. And he's basically doing every single thing that he wants. And if you know what I mean, just everything that he wants. And you know the weird thing is that he said he's still not satisfied. He has all the physical, sexual relations he wants. He has all the food, all the money. Everything he wants, he has. But he said to me, I feel there's something missing. And everything he talks about, and everything he's desiring, is found right in the bosom of God. You know, and he doesn't know it. He doesn't know it. See, so God created us with this desire for something bigger than us. No matter what you've got, you can't be even greater than Solomon the King. Solomon the King in the Old Testament, if you remember, after he said, he admitted with his own two lips, he admitted and he said, anything that I desired, I got. Anything that my eyes laid upon and I wanted, I got it. To the point where he had 700 wives and 300 mistresses. Okay? Any woman that would be nice, he'd get her. Gold this, gold that, palaces, everything. And at the end of his life, you know what he said? It's all vanity. It's all grasping for the wind. What's in my hand? Nothing. Grasping. Here, I did it again. There's nothing there. So learn from him. Okay? We need to learn that, you know, we are appointed for salvation. We are appointed to be with God. This is why you're here. This is why you weren't created a tree or a rock or an insect or a bird. You were created in God's image and likeness. Genesis 1:26. Okay? So the whole idea of sacraments, again, I'm saying this again, is so that we can obtain salvation. We can obtain salvation. The only place you can get a salvation is in the church. You can't go buy it at Kmart. You can't find it at Lord and Taylor. You can't go in your sports club at school. You can't go to the cafeteria. Yeah, we have a cafeteria too. We have a whole bunch of people. It's like a school setting. You can't find it there. The only place you will find salvation is within the walls of the Orthodox Church. Okay? So you have to try to remember that when you're thinking about sacraments. And that should set the serious tone for you when you're thinking about your relationship to all these sacraments that we've been trying to teach you for the past year and a half and 2 years. Okay, so let's get started. Quickly, just as a review, you already know this, but I just figured it'd be always good to review. What is a sacrament? A sacrament, or the word, means, in Latin, sacramentum, to make something holy. So if I take this cross and I bless it, that means it becomes holy, okay? The sacrament that you take upon yourself, that you participate in, makes you holy. Okay? The Greek word mysterion, which is what I like to use, because it has a more fuller meaning
of the word, something incomprehensible, unknowable, something secret. We don't know. We don't know how that piece of bread and that cup of wine mixed with water turns into the body and the blood of our Savior. We don't know. It's a mystery. It's incomprehensible. It's unknowable. It's only known to God. Okay? And even in the Orthodox Church, unlike other traditional churches, we don't have an exact theology about what happens to that bread. We can't say transubstantiation, because that means that what has the actual bread turned into blood cells and meat and all that stuff. And I know you heard stories about that, but take that out of your memory. It's a big X. Okay? Those are mythical and folkloric stories. Okay? Well, St. John Chrysostom said it the best. He said it mystically becomes the body and blood. Okay? I'm just trying to give you an understanding. That's why I like mysterion. Mystical. We always say sacraments, but we really should say the seven mysteries of God. Okay? So that's what the word sacrament means. Okay? What is a sacrament? Okay? Simply? Okay? And there's a hint right here. Okay? You see what this is? This is what? An extension cord. Okay? Keep that in your back of your mind when we're talking about this, and I'll explain the extension cord. It's an invisible grace of the Holy Spirit that is received through a visible sign. An invisible grace. Grace is a gift, something from God that you don't have. Okay? It's an invisible grace that you receive from something physical. Okay? Something physical you can touch, smell, taste, or hear. Okay? That's what it means to be physical. Okay? So it could be an audible act as well, it could just be a word. Okay? You know, for example, when I give you the absolution after you confess your sins and you repent to God, what happens? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What was the question? What do I do after you confess? Okay, what else? Yes, John. And what else? Absolution. What's an absolution? What is it? It's right up there, guys. It's right up there. Audible. Something audible. Words. So the visible sign does have to be something physical. Yes, after we do this, right? And I, right? Over your head. And then I pronounce the absolution. That's exactly the visible sign in the sacrament of reconciliation. You see the idea? So every sacrament has something physical through which that grace, that special gift from God, comes to you. Like in baptism, I baptized a little child today. Okay? They received a new nature. Okay? They washed away their sins in baptism. What was the visible sign? What would you think the visible sign is? No, not the Merun, in the baptism. What's the visible sign in baptism?
The water.
The actual physical water of it. Okay? Physical water. Okay? So, you really have to understand, it's really simple. This is just a very simple concept. Very simple concept. Try to understand it, and then apply it to every one of the sacraments. Maybe on the quiz, what we can do is, we'll list all the seven sacraments, and I want the grace that they receive and how you get it. Okay? Alright. No, this isn't last year's lesson. No. A sacrament is the work of the Holy Spirit in you through the sacrament connecting us to God and giving us what? His gifts, his blessings, which eventually lead us to salvation. There's four of the sacraments that lead us to salvation that are necessary for salvation. The others aren't, okay? But we'll talk about that when I get to that slide. So basically, what am I trying to say on this slide here? A sacrament is an invisible grace, something invisible you don't see, but you feel or hear it through a visible act or material thing or a word, okay? Water, my absolution, okay? The bread and the wine. To receive something from God that leads you to salvation. Okay? This is going to be on the quiz. So I'm going to ask, what is a sacrament?
Can you say it one more time?
Sure. A sacrament is an invisible grace, okay? Something you get from God through something visible, physical or audible, which is for our salvation. And I said there's only four of the sacraments that are salvific, that are for salvation. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. All right, is everybody clear about this? Okay, so why do you think now I have an extension for you? Yes, Michael.
Because it connects us with that.
Okay. In this extension cord, if it's connected to the wall, what's running through it? Electricity, correct? That's the grace. Through what? Through the visible cord itself. You can't, can you touch electricity? Is it something physical?
Not really. I mean, don't get too technical on me, okay? This is for our purposes here, okay? This is a physical thing, okay? Yeah, electricity is, but if you touch it, you'll die, okay? So let's just say you can't, all right? So the electricity running through this cord is that grace of the Holy Spirit, and the cord is the physical thing that carries it, that makes it available to you. You get the idea?
Yes, I get the idea. Mm-hmm.
Nod your heads at least, okay? So I know I don't have to repeat myself 1,000 times. Okay? All right, buddy? Very good. All right?
So if I just, maybe your quiz next week will just be a picture of this. A picture of this. You have to explain what it means. Okay? All right?
Okay.
Next. What are the seven sacraments? Who can tell me what the seven sacraments are? Quickly. Right off the top of your head. Michael.
Priesthood, communion, baptism, chrismation, priesthood.
You said priesthood.
No, I said priesthood. Marriage.
Mm-hmm. You said marriage. You said matrimony. Did you say matrimony?
No.
Okay, apologize. Mm-hmm. That's four. Five. What is it?
Four or five?
Five.
Repentance, which is...
Repentance, confession, reconciliation, yeah? Huh?
Unction of sick.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Mary. All right. Somebody else. One of the girls. One of the girls. Christ.
I don't know what I said.
Put the name. Go ahead. Seven sacraments. You guys should know. You should be able to recite. You should be able to recite this in your sleep.
Well, communion.
Seven. I want them. Yeah. Baptism. Stop talking. Baptism.
Confession.
Very good. Okay. All seven right there. Baptism, chrismation, reconciliation, Eucharist, matrimony, priesthood, and the anointing or the unction of the sick. You guys need to know them, please. You have to know them, please. That's like, if you don't know these, it's like getting a PhD in English and not knowing the alphabet. Or getting a PhD in chemistry and not knowing what helium is, or hydrogen. Okay? If you're going to serve the Lord, you have to know your ABCs. Okay? This should be off the top of your head immediately, without even thinking. No hesitation. Okay? Baptism, chrismation, reconciliation, Eucharist, matrimony, priesthood, and unction of the sick. Okay? All right. Next. Ha-ha. Go back. You should know them already. No. Okay. Here it is. You have them right here. Okay? This is a table that I'm not going to spend time on because I don't have time to do it. But basically, what I want you to do is study this and know this for next. This is going to be on the quiz. I'm going to draw this on the quiz. I'm going to put these for you. Or maybe, should I put them for you?
No.
We'll be nice. I'll give you some of them, and I want you to tell me what the physical material is. And what you can get off the website, guys. What are you taking a picture of the screen for? get it off the website.
Your picture.
And the invisible grace that comes with it, okay? So far I gave you like three quiz questions right now. Okay? What is a sacrament? The seven sacraments. And then this is the third question. This, you're going to fill it out. Okay? If you get one thing wrong, you get no points. Because we should know this. You have to make it easy for a thumb to breathe. Come on, man. You're going to be 0.5 point here and quarter here. And No. All or none. All or none. Okay? Get it off the website. Okay. What are the four sacraments that you need for salvation? And what are the three that you don't need for salvation? Huh? What are the one that you don't need? Somebody just say something. One that you don't need for salvation.
Marriage,
right. Because that would exclude all the single people or all the monastics or the nuns and the monks. Okay? What else? Michael?
Priesthood.
That would exclude all women and all men who aren't priests. Huh? What's that? You're going to say priesthood. Okay. Huh? What else? Mina? Unction of the sick. Let's say you're healthy, you never got that sacrament. No big deal. Okay? But there's four others that you have to have according to the teaching of the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism, chrismation, reconciliation, and Eucharist. Those are the four. You have to know those. Okay? There's two more, and you'll know the six requirements of salvation. You have four of them right here. The first one, before all this, is belief in Christ. And the last one is good deeds, according to the Bible. Not just faith, believe, and you're going to be saved. No, that's not being true to the gospel or the reading of the Bible. Okay, there's six points for salvation. That's not going to be a question. This is going to be a question. What are the four sacraments that are salvific or redemptive? Okay, the ones that save you. Baptism, chrismation, reconciliation, and Eucharist. Okay? And obviously the other three are these that you mentioned. Okay? Got it? Yes?
Do we have to study the verses?
No. Okay? Yes? Okay, what are we going to talk about today? Is the priesthood. That's what we're going to talk about today. Alright? What is the priesthood? It's a sacrament through which a bishop lays his hand on the head of an elected candidate so that the Holy Spirit will descend upon him and grant him one of the priestly ranks. Okay, we'll get to the priestly ranks in a minute. He is then given the authority to officiate, to do the sacraments of the church, all those seven, or actually six of them, or seven, depending on what rank you are of the priesthood of the church, and to teach others the doctrines of the church. That's from his book, Bishop Mateos' book. Okay? You should read it. It's a really good book. It talks all about the sacraments. About this thick, it talks all about sacraments. Okay? It's really good to get a good foundation in the sacraments. Okay? Again, I'm going to ask this question. Okay? What is the priest? What does the sacrament of priesthood mean? It's when a bishop lays a hand on a man and gives him the Holy Spirit to descend upon him so that he can do what? He can have the authority to officiate, to lead the sacraments of the church and to teach. That's what the sacrament of the priesthood is. Okay? I'm not getting into the type of priesthood it is. Does anybody have an idea of what type of priesthood it is? Old Testament priesthood, hint, hint, versus New Testament priesthood. Hint, hint. Old Testament priesthood, what was that? And the New Testament priesthood, what was that? Okay, so which priesthood does a priest carry? Of course, the New Testament. What is it called? There was a man in the book of Genesis who offered tithe. A tithe to Abraham. Huh? Hmm? Raise your hand if you have an answer. Nobody?
John has an answer.
I don't see his hand. Thank you. Melchizedek. Melchizedek, the priesthood of Melchizedek, which is written and spoken about in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, that Christ is the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Okay? So the priesthood of the New Testament priest is the priesthood of Melchizedek or of Christ. Because even in the Old Testament, in Genesis, I think it's Genesis chapter 18. Melchizedek comes and he offers Abraham offers a tithe to Melchizedek. And then Melchizedek offers what? Bread and anything? Wine. Whoa, 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 whoa. Brandon, wine is in the Gospel of St. John 2,000 years later, or 1,000 years later. It's a foreshadowing of the type of the priesthood that Christ would come and be and fulfill and give to the New Testament church. The Old Testament priesthood, you don't have to know this, it's just FYI. The Old Testament priesthood is the Levitical priesthood, or the priesthood of Aaron, the first priest. Okay? And there's a lot of differences between the Old Testament priesthood and the New Testament priesthood. Okay? Some non-traditional Christians say that there is no priesthood in the New Testament, which is completely false. I can pull out 10 verses where Christ specifically refers to priesthood, and St. Paul specifically refers to the priesthood. Okay? So that's an invalid argument. Okay? Just open your Bible and read. It's right there in the New Testament. But anyway, so this is what the priesthood is. Okay? Very important point. I'm going to ask you, true or false? All sacraments are not instituted by Christ. What are you going to say?
False,
because all sacraments are instituted, meaning he founded them in the pages of the New Testament. He spoke about it, or his disciples spoke about it, directly or indirectly. And therefore, the foundation of every sacrament is found in the Holy Bible. We, as Orthodox, we don't just pull things out of a hat. We don't play tricks. Our constitution, our guiding law and principles and teachings are found within the pages of the Holy Bible. And everything we do, from this beard that I'm wearing right now, okay, to this robe, to every action we do in the liturgy, to the Irini Pasi, the peace, the use of the cross, it's all found in the New Testament and Old Testament. Even incense. Incense. We use a lot of incense, right? That's found in the Old Testament, yeah, but it's not in the New Testament, wrong. It's in the New Testament as well. Okay, so we do everything what the Bible says. What you see, this is authentic. Okay, there's no acting here. This is not a costume. This is who I am. And that's why the Orthodox priest doesn't work in a worldly job anymore. Once he decides to accept the calling, what happens? After the hand is laid on his head, he now is transferred from the world of the laity to the world of the priesthood. And he's a full-time servant. He's not just a priest on Sunday where he wears all this stuff, and then when I go on vacation, I just wear a pair of shorts that happen to be black and a black tank top, you know, a black skull cap or a bandana. You know, just really, you know, I was in Great Adventure like this, okay? And everybody's looking at me, you know, hey mom, look, Darth Vader. What are you doing? I'm like, thank you. I'm glad that didn't happen to me in my first year of priesthood, because I would have been crushed. But it happened a few years later, so I was used to it. My skin got really thick. But this guy came up with a nice shaved beard, very nice, and you know, like one of you guys do, nice, really shaved and very nice, right? And he's wearing a fluorescent yellow shirt and a pair of shorts. And he has a big cross on the front of the shirt. And on the back, he says, I am Orthodox Catholic priest, something like that. So he looks up, so he's like, oh, is that you dress like that all the time? I said, yes, I'm a priest. I'm a priest always. He's like, oh. Because I'm a priest too. And he goes like this. Nice to meet you, Father. Priesthood is something that's very, 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 very important in our church. You cannot, believe it or not, guess what? If you don't have priests or the rank of the priesthood, there is no
church.
There's no church. Because Christ founded the church through and on the priesthood. So there's, you like tomorrow, if I don't show up, who's going to do the liturgy? Who's going to give you the sacraments? Okay? I have a very big, nice slide coming up about this point. Okay? And maybe now you can start to see why our faith and our church teaches us to respect the priest to the point that we kiss his hand and we do all these other things for the priest. Okay? Not for respect for the person, Abraham, me, but for respect of what I represent, the priesthood of Christ. Okay? We're going to get to that in a minute. Just hold that question, okay? One second. I really need to get through this. Institution and establishment. Okay? Remember how I said every sacrament True or false? Every sacrament is instituted by Christ.
True.
True. Okay, so where are these verses that talk about the institution or establishment or the founding or the beginning of the sacrament of the priesthood? Well, it's right here. Matthew 18:18. It's a really simple verse to remember. Matthew 18:18. Matthew 18:18. Assuredly I say to you, this is what he was speaking to the disciples. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He's establishing the authority of the priesthood. In the Gospel of St. John chapter 20, you could think of it like this. John 20:20. Perfect vision. 2020. John 20:20. It's actually John 20:19, but I remember it. John 20:20. Back up one verse, okay? Look what, and then it goes further. It says, he says what? The day of the resurrection, he appeared to them after the resurrection, correct? On the resurrection Sunday, yes? Yes, Abuna. Yes, right? And what did he do? He appeared to them in the upper room. And then he breathed to them. He breathed in the face of the disciples. He gathered them. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Wow, that means you're God. If all authority is given to you in heaven and on earth, then you're God. So, what happens? He gathers them and he does what? Receive the Holy Spirit. Whatever you bind. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you don't forgive, they're not forgiven. Establishing the authority, the spiritual authority for salvation for all of humanity. These verses. There's a lot more, but I just made Matthew what?
18.
John?
20.
Matthew what?
18.
John?
20.
Matthew what?
18.
John?
20.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you those two verses. I'm going to ask you those two verses. Okay? And this is just the commission where he tells them to go out, preach, baptize, teach, and make disciples of all nations. Don't worry about that one. Matthew 28. Okay? What are the responsibilities of the priest? Now that we've figured out all this, binding and loosing and teaching and preaching, what is all this? What is this? What is this weird-looking alien guy with this weird-looking hat supposed to be doing with the people of God? Okay? According to the Holy Bible, there's a big list of what the priest should do. Okay? He's a steward. He's an ambassador. He's an angel. Okay? He's a shepherd. He's a father. He's a teacher. He's a guide. He's a ruler. Yes, a ruler. He's a priest. He's a servant. He's everything that Christ was. Because we represent him on this earth. We are his ambassadors. We are his representatives. So whatever Christ did, he gave that to us to do. St. John Chrysostom is one of the fathers of the church who spoke about priesthood. He wrote a book called On the Priesthood. Okay? And I really wish we could, Dr. Mary, you know, maybe read it all together as like a spiritual book that we're all reading together. You can't imagine what he says about the priesthood. And in this book, he talks about how the priest, but there's no other, people have a lot of worldly authority. You go to a judge of the earth, okay, to get out of a ticket, okay, and you're begging and you're begging, but the priest has not just earthly authority, he has heavenly authority. And now I'm going to show you a whole bunch of really good quotes that I picked out of the book to kind of drive home the idea of what the priesthood is for the Orthodox Christian. There's a lot of Christians that don't have priests. They have pastors, reverend. They have just leaders, group leaders, youth leader, minister. Okay, no, we're all that, but we're priests on top of it as well. Okay, big difference. Big, big, big difference. Okay, because the priest has that special what? Blank from the Holy Spirit. First two slides. Grace. Grace from the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, you can go to the Abuna store in Egypt. Imagine if Betty goes to the Abuna store in Egypt. And he buys one of these. And he buys one of these. He saves some money on the, you know, shaving cream and all that stuff. He just walks in. And he has one of these and a fancier cross than mine. And
you know, and a silkier, robe than mine, is that going to make him a priest?
No.
What makes him a priest? It's the grace of the Holy Spirit from which he received by the laying on, the proper terminology is laying on of the
hands,
even though it's one hand, it's laying on of the hands, okay, to receive the authority to preach and to teach and to get that grace to do what we do. Okay? Got it? Clear? Okay. There are three ranks of the priesthood. I'm going to ask you, what are the three ranks of the priesthood? Okay? Bishop, priest, deacon. Yes, deacon. But not you guys up there. Deacon, deeds. Okay? The bishop, he's like the overseer. He's the guy on top who is a big shepherd. He sees everything. Amber David has a diocese now, New York and New England. He's the shepherd. He sees all of what's going on. He administers, he's an administrator. He makes sure everything is running properly. Okay? And the ranks of the bishop are these four. Okay? Chori Episcopus is like a sub-bishop, a half-bishop. He's higher than a priest, but lower than a bishop. Okay? So if Ember David wants, he can ordain a Chori Episcopus, a person who's higher than a priest, but lower than him. Somewhere in between to do a lot of administrative duties that maybe the bishop doesn't have time to do. Especially if you have a huge diocese with like hundreds of churches. How are you going to do all this work? Okay? So that's the bishop. What he does is basically he oversees and he teaches. He's a teacher. The most important thing about the bishop is that he teaches. And he's the keeper and guardian of the sacraments and the keeper and the guardian of the Orthodox faith. That's the bishop. He's the guardian. He has a radar. Okay. Oh, they're talking about St. Mary is not an ever virgin. He goes to it. He fights it. He clears it up. He writes books. He excommunicates. He keeps the faith that we received 2,000 years ago still pure. Okay? That's his role. The priest, he's a minister. He serves. He ministers the sacraments. And he's also a teacher. And there's two ranks of the priesthood. The hegumen, which is like an archpriest, like an elevated priest. That's what Abuna Bra'am is. And just a regular old little priest. Okay? The hegumen is usually given the administrative duties. He has to take care of the budget. He has to have all the headache. And this little guy can do all the spiritual stuff without worrying about all that. Who's paying the electric bill and where the money's coming from. And it's so wonderful like that. I'm this little guy right here. Thank God. Okay? Deacons, are servers. They serve. They serve. The priest and the bishop. The deacon are the eyes of the bishop. If we have 2, 3, 4, 7 full deacons, like in the book of Acts, and it's my dream that one day we can get to the point where we can ordain 7 full-time deacons in this church. They are the eyes of the bishop and priest. Okay? One will take care of, for example, the needs of the poor. One will take care of the elderly. One will take care of Sunday school. One will take care of social work, like trying to find people apartments and food stamps. And this is their work. This is what they do. The book of Acts says the apostles stood up and said, it is not right for us to serve tables. We have the ministry or the service of the word, we have to teach. We can't waste our time cleaning and looking for drinks for people. That's a noble task. They're not saying that that's wrong, but they're saying it's not their role. Well, who's their role? Or who is it that should do that? It's the deacon. He serves. He's the one with the people. He's the one down there going to the hospital visit. There's another deacon we could do if we have 7 of them. One of them takes care of all the sick people. He's the one that everybody calls to get communion. Who's sick? Where are they? And if they need the blessing of the priest, he brings the priest there. Okay, St. John Chrysostom, in his book on the priest, he said, the priest should read 8 hours a day and should pray 8 hours a day.
should read 8 hours a day, okay?
Because he's leading a flock. He has to be up on everything. He has to be able to convince people of the faults of their ideas.
He has to be able to talk to an atheist. He has to be able to talk to a homosexual. Tell them you're wrong in a loving way. He has to be able to convince people why drugs are wrong, or sex or alcohol or girlfriend or boyfriend. Or he has to be able to talk, and he's not a social worker. These are basically the social workers. The social needs of the people. The priest takes care of the spiritual needs of the people. Okay? That's how it should be. So God willing, when we get this back, these three ranks fully, maybe then the priest can go back to reading for 8 hours a day and praying for 8 hours a day. They're praying. They just don't say Our Father. They pray. They're supposed to pray for each one of you individually with every single problem and prayer request. People give me prayer requests. I'm inundated with prayer requests. What? Pray for this, pray for that, pray for this. I wish I had time to pray like I should pray. Okay? So there's like a kind of like an imbalance. It's like it's a tricycle with one of the wheels missing. You can see? It's like a tricycle with one of the wheels. So this wheel carries more. The bishop, he's a bishop. So it all falls on this wheel here. You see? Anyway, you guys hold your questions, or do you need to ask them? Okay, we'll get through it and then we'll talk. Okay, here's some verses. Just enjoy these. They're so profound. Just enjoy them. If you want to get them later off the website, get them. The priesthood is performed on earth, but it possesses the order of heavenly things. So what the priest does on earth, the binding and the loosing and the confessions and the healing ministry and the ministry of the word and speaking and visitation, that's a heavenly thing. So the priest who's on earth does heavenly things. It's amazing. Think about it. Okay? Look at this one. He who honors the priest will honor God also. And he who has learned to despise the priest will, in the process of time, insult God. For when a person, is piously disposed, meaning respectful, toward the priest, he is much more so toward God. And that is so true. People, I notice that people that are respectful toward the priesthood, they are very respectful toward God. People that come up to me and do this, shake my hand, are not respectful toward God. They don't understand who they're dealing with. And again, it's not about me as this person in this black robe. It's about the priesthood of his priesthood, that I'm offering respect to. And this is what he's saying here. For when a man is piously disposed toward the priest and respectful, he's much more so toward God. And even if the priest is wicked, God, seeing that you respect him, though he's unworthy of any honor, because he's wicked and a sinner, through reverence to him, respect to him, God will himself reward you. Okay? Think about that. Do you know what the priest is? He's an angel of the Lord. If you despise him, you despise not him, but God who ordained him. He's an angel. I don't have wings. An angel is what? A messenger. In the book of Ezekiel, it says that the priest is the messenger of the Lord of hosts, and the people should seek the law from his mouth, from his lips. Okay? Messenger, an angel is just a messenger. Okay? That's why he's saying the priest is an angel. Because I'm a messenger. The things I tell you to do or I instruct you in, then it's not my words. Open your Bible. You'll find the words that I'm telling you about in there. I'm just the postman. I'm the guy who takes the message from God and delivers it to you. It's up to you to open it and accept it. Don't complain to me if you don't like what's written. Tell him. I'm just a messenger. That's what he means by angel. Okay? The priesthood is full of awe, wonder, since Christ did not even say to the angels that verse from what?
Matthew 18.
And John?
21.
Okay? Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound, whatever you loose. He didn't even say that to the angels. For those who rule over the earth have the power to bind, but only men's bodies. So he's talking about a judge or a cop. If a judge says, you're going to jail, okay, it's your body. But he has no authority over your spirit or your soul. Yet the authority to bind, what we speak of, touches the souls and transcends to the heavens. See the idea? The priesthood? Okay? That's why it's not right for a priest to be demoted to doing social work. Finding furniture and getting food and giving rides to people. But these are all good things. I'm not saying it's not right to do, and I do them all. But think about this and think about what the priest does because of the tricycle that is in unbalance. Many times I've requested from the hierarchy, the bishops, to really think about reinstating the rank of the deacon. Okay? So think about this. Okay? You know, I get calls in the middle of the night. When I got a flat tire, can you come pick me up? Okay, I'll come. Abuna, I need to find an apartment. Can you find me a good real estate agent? Okay. You don't want me to pray for you? No. Find me a real estate agent. Abuna, I really need a job, and I need you to do my resume for me. Okay? You know how many resumes I do? I do. But you don't want me to pray for you? Isn't that what a priest should be doing? I should be doing these things. It's the deacons that should be doing them, the servants, not me. And so when I don't do those things, guess what happens? I don't get to pray for you guys. I don't get to sit in front of God or stand in front of God or kneel in front of God and mention each one of your names and ask for your help, for your forgiveness, for your health, for your success, because I'm busy finding apartments. I'm busy finding food. I'm busy finding clothing, which is all good. I have to do it. But you see my point? You get the idea, guys? Yes. Huh? Yes. Nod, so I know. Okay. Are they, the priest, his own words that he speaks? If you despise him and his words, you do not despise him, but you despise God who ordained him. If God does not work through him, I love this one. There is no baptism, there is no communion in the mysteries, nor blessings, and you are no longer a Christian. Read that to yourself again. Remember how I said earlier, if there's no priest, there's no
church.
I'm not getting these things from my head. I'm not saying all these things because I want everybody to bow down when I walk through the room. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with him. Him. Not me. Okay? What do? We do all of these things, depending on what rank. Okay? We baptize, we chrismate, we give communion, we take confession, we do the holy unction of the sick as a priest, and we do holy matrimony as a priest. As a priest, I'm not allowed to give the priesthood to another priest. That comes from the bishop. The deacon, what does he do? He helps out in communion, he helps out in baptism, he helps out in the unction, and that's it. And the bishop does all. Actually, originally in the original church, baptism and chrismation was only reserved for the bishop. Priests used to not baptize. That was when there was only like 5 Christians in the whole country. And there was 1 bishop. Right? But now as the numbers grew, thousands and millions of people, the bishop can't do all that. So he conferred this authority onto the priest to do it. In the Roman Catholic Church, the bishop still holds on to what they call confirmation. We call it chrismation. Okay? So that's why they get confirmed, I don't know, like an 8th grade or something, and the bishop goes to all the churches throughout his diocese, and he confirms them, not the priest. They're still doing it the ancient way. Okay? Alright. Reverence him, because every day he ministers to you, serves you, prays for you, and offers supplications for you.
Okay? This is what the priest does. So at least respect what he does. At least respect him. You find him carrying something, Avuna Brahm comes walking in, you run and grab it from him. He walks into a room that's packed. There's no seats. Everybody gets up. Avuna, please sit. You know, this is how we respect, okay? Just by these small little acts of respect and love, okay? Not because of the person. Because when you respect the priesthood, you respect the Lord. So you're actually respecting God. And that's why people, you know, when I go to their houses, they insist I have to eat. They insist I have to drink. They insist to give this and do that and do this and do that. I'm like, I don't have any room. No, I have to. Yeah, I have to. Because they, in their minds, if the priest says no, God says no. And it means God is against them. So I can't say no. Yeah? That's the corner that we always find ourselves in. That's why I have a beautiful physique, you know? When I first started the priesthood, I was like 50 pounds lighter. Check the pictures 9 years ago. Okay. Yeah, so, what are we going to do with all this? What are we going to do with all of this information? This beautiful, wonderful information that you and I have just understood. Take the priest as your guide. Take his blessing. I as a priest, take the blessing of other priests. Okay? Any priest I see, I grab his hand and I almost crush it. Okay? So I can grab it. Because they just do this. I know the trick because I do that too. I just grab the hand. And he looks at me like, it's easy. My hand. I said, it's okay, you got to give me a blessing. So now, there's this one priest, I literally almost crushed his hand one time. Every time he comes by, wait. I said, Abuna, give me your hand. They're really good friends. They're like the same age and stuff. He said, okay, let's come up with a plan. So I take his hand and he takes my hand and we kiss each other's hands at the same time. So every time I see him, we do that. We got to that plan like a few months ago. But before that, I was crushing his hand all the time. That's pretty fun, actually. I see a priest go, ah! Don't tell them you saw it. If you do it to me, you're going to hit. Practice the sacrament. You have a person who's there to help you get closer to God. Don't be like, oh, I'm too afraid, the Buddha's going to beat me up. Or, no, I don't want him to come over, I don't want him to bless our home because my room is a mess. Come in your room and get a blessing. Come on. You know, take advantage of the things. God gave us such a great gift, this sacrament. He gave us such a great gift. Imagine the church without priests. Imagine. No communion. No confession. Some of you may have a big smile on your face. But I guarantee you, those of you who don't confess, you have a smile on your face, but your heart is broken and it's sad. Okay? Imagine, no priests, no confession, no communion, no house blessings, no prayers on behalf of you,
no baptism,
no nothing, just nothing. Yeah, you know what? You get to God by yourself. I'll just go home and read 8 hours a day. Okay? Think about it. We're so blessed. Our church is so blessed to still keep the ancient form, the biblical ancient form of Christianity. And that's what sets us apart from other Christians. With all respect to everybody. Okay, we love everybody because we're supposed to, because we want to, because Christ said it. But we have a lot of extra beautiful things, okay, that a lot of people don't. And they don't know what they're missing. We have it. We have a silver spoon in our mouth. And we don't like it. We avoid Abuna. Okay? That's what you're going to be like if you continue to do that. Completely confused. Okay, FYI, quickly, just all these, you don't have to worry, just listen. Usually the priest is ordained after he's 30 years old. Where do we get that tradition from? The canons of the church, because the Lord started his earthly ministry at the age of 30. Okay. A priest should be the husband of one woman, and if she dies, he should not remarry because he's a father to all. Okay, that's one of the canons of the church. How does one become a priest? You can't say, hey, Abuna, give me the application for the priesthood. I want to be a priest. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, it says, no one takes this honor upon himself. No one takes this honor, but is granted or given by God. Just as he granted the honor to Aaron, likewise Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but the Father said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. I am well pleased in you. Remember that? And also he said, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So even Christ in his priesthood didn't come out and say, I'm priest. I'm son. No. He didn't take the honor for himself, although he deserves it because he's God. So we also follow his footsteps. No one takes this honor. No one. No one can say, you know what, Abuna, I want to become a priest. And the person has no clue what they're talking about. And those type of people, we just zahlakum. Believe me. It's a calling. Okay, this is fine. We just, the next one. Okay, attributes. Okay. FYI, in Judaism, their priests are called Kohen, where we get the Arabic word Kahin from. Okay. And Kohen would offer sacrifices and oblations to the Lord. We do, but they're bloody. Now they're not bloody. Coptic, Oweeb. I am P. Oweeb. I am Oweeb Avraham, the priest Abraham. Okay? Okay? Oweeb coming from the word Ethoed. Ethoed means what? Holy. Okay? Showing the character of the person who should be elected as a candidate to the priesthood. The Greek, Eretz. Okay, which means minister. Okay, don't worry, this is just FYI for you guys. Okay, glory be to God forever and ever. Anybody have any quick questions? Yes, quick. Yes, full-time job, they don't work. They're full-time in the church. They wear black. They can have a beard or not. They wear a hat, a head covering. They do a lot of things. But they don't, they don't do all of the priestly things.
Can we do that?
No, they can be married or celibate, it's a choice. But once you become a deacon and you're celibate, you have to stay that way. You can't decide, okay, 7 years later, you know, I'm lonely. No, once you say it, you make a commitment, that's it, you're done. Yes, Nina. No. They can't do a liturgy by themselves. They can take the elements. They can take the elements, the body and the blood, and then give it to somebody. Body and blood. Yes. Yes. Yes, Mike.
Like Ibrahim Ayyad is like an Orthodox, right?
Ibrahim Ayyad was a proto Psaltos until Pope Tawadros. No, until M. Bebochumius, which means he's an arch chanter. That's it. Now he, I don't know what his rank is. I think he's diakon. I don't know, but I saw him give blood.
So why does he always like wear black?
I don't know. Shouldn't be. This is why we we have some fuzzy lines in certain things. Protopsaltos, let's wear black. No. Diakon, omne. Beard, head covering, cross. But you don't kiss his hand, he doesn't hold a cross, he doesn't bless. The blessing comes from the priest or the bishop. Okay? Yes? Liturgical. Yes.
Liturgically.
I mean, anything that has to do with the liturgy, okay, they have to be male. However, we have deaconesses. Okay, so we have deaconesses. We have females who have dedicated their lives, their celibate women, usually older, not necessarily have to be, but usually what we see now in the church is usually older. They wear like a nun. They look kind of like a nun.
You mean the Mukarnasov
of women? Yeah, those are the
Mukarnasov. But technically, they honor they get the title written and they
are shemeser. They are shemeser, and they help in all aspects of the church that have to do with anything with women and the service. They can teach Sunday school, they could help in female baptisms, they could do so many things. They could serve elderly people, they run orphanages, they raise children. I know a deaconess that's a close friend of my family in Egypt, and I met her. You know what her service is? It's so noble, so wonderful. You know what it is? She has an apartment in Masabidina. Pretty, like a decent sized apartment. And what does she do? The bishop gives her orphaned children or children that are abandoned, and she raises them. That's all she does. She's a mother to anybody that walks in her door. It's so amazing, this woman. The greatest, she's far better than any deacon I've ever seen or dealt with. Unbelievable. Unbelievable woman. And she's a mother. She cares for them. Diapers and homework, and she pays for this, and she takes them to school, and she goes shopping, and she sells. She's by herself. So the work of the deaconess, wow. I wish we could bring all this stuff back. I wish the priest would be so much better off, and everybody else would be, because he could pray for everybody. You know, he's not worried about getting people apartments and food and clothing and jobs and resumes. That's not his job. My job is the altar table. My job is this all day. That's what my job is supposed to be. Last question, because I have to go.
Subdeacon wears black?
No. No. Subdeacon, he's kind of like trying it out. We'll see. You know, we're testing him.
He can't give the blood?
No. No. Last question. The patriarch is the first one of honor throughout the whole church. He's the leader in honor. Metropolitan is a bishop of a huge geographical area. A bishop is a bishop of a small geographical area. A Chori Episcopos is a half bishop of like two or three streets of town.
So would you consider a bishop of a diocese metropolitan?
No, no. Metropolitan would be like if he had the whole of the United States. Okay? And but David has what? He has New York and New England. Okay? Up to New Hampshire and Maine. Okay? A few states, four or five states. That's a bishop. But if he had half the United States or the entire United States, we call him metropolitan. Okay, Hare? Okay, so next week's quiz, everybody's going to get 100, right? Because I gave you the questions. I may throw in a trick question here or there, but we'll see. Okay, maybe one. Okay, to see who's been listening.
Can
that
be the extra credit?
No.
No.
No. Okay? All right? Glory be to God forever. Amen. Thank you for your attention. Sorry, I have to run, but the because I have to start exactly at 7, which is 6:58. I have 2 minutes. What's this? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You can eat.